Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. My name is Tori Homan. I'm one of your hosts, and I am here with my co-host, Jonathan Yasko, the Director of Sales and Client Services here at North American Signs. It's been a while since you've been on, so it's nice to have you back, Jonathan.
It's great to be back.
Yeah. So today, we're talking all about vendor partnerships, and this is a topic we've dug into before, but we want to talk today about it more from our perspective as a national brand and then speaking to the vendors who want to work with brands like ours.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, because we always get messages from regional installers, electricians, and other vendors in the network that are interested in working with us. And hopefully this can give them some good insights on the best practices for working with us and other national partners.
All right, everyone, I am really excited to welcome our very special guest. But before I do that, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Innovation Room wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I'm really excited to introduce Scott Sindel. He is the head of project management here at North American Signs. He's been with the company for 9 years, and he's the perfect person for this topic because Scott deals directly with our vendors literally on a daily basis. He's interacting with them. He's building relationships with them. And so I think he's going to have some really great insights. I'm excited to have him on the show. To just jump right in, you guys deal with our vendors, like I was saying, on a daily basis. And our vendors, when we're using that term, that means people who help us manufacture our signs. That means people who help us install signs for our clients all over the country, people who help us repair and maintain signage. And we have some vendors that we've partnered with for decades. And we are partners with them because they're reliable, because they're easy to work with. They make our lives better. And so I think a big part of that, building those relationships, is communication. And that's where I want to start today. If you have poor communication, nothing else in your relationship is going to work. That's true of relationships of all kinds, yeah. And it's true in vendor relationships as well. Yeah. So when you're starting a new partnership with a vendor, with communication in mind, what are some good places to start there?
The best place I like to start, Tori, is explaining to them that it's more of a relationship and a partnership versus, hey, you work for me. And that's something I really try to create the foundation from the start is we're in this together. We're here to help the client for our basic need of getting a sign on the wall or getting a sign made, electrical work, manufacturing, as you mentioned. But what I found is that the more we work together as a team, that the better off it is with that communication, the transparency between each other, and the overall aspect of the project in itself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think setting clear expectations, communicating what those expectations are. I think sometimes I'm guilty of this, whether it's in personal relationships or in professional settings, whatever it is, where I create expectations in my mind and then don't communicate the expectations and then wonder why people aren't on the same page. And so I think that for those longtime partners, that's probably what we, you know, I wasn't even around, but I'm sure that's what we did, is we set those really good quality expectations and we've stayed true to those and operated with integrity there. Jonathan, what do you think?
I was just going to say that's a big part of it too, is that in the beginning of a relationship, obviously you have to over-communicate, right? Because we don't know what your standards are. You don't know what our standards are. So the more that people communicate and just show that, okay, this is our regular, right? You know, once we know what your regular is, then we need less communication. And then all those vendor partners that we've been partners with for so long, then you can have that, hey, go handle this. And you don't need them to do anything until they send you completion photos, right? Because you know what they're going to do. You know what kind of mounting techniques they're going to use. And, you know, they're not going to damage the sign. And you're going to trust that they know what they're doing. But until you get to that point, which it takes years, right? It takes years to build confidence in a vendor. And it's you're just filling up that bucket, right? And then any mistakes, just put little holes in the bucket. And obviously, too many holes drains it. And then we don't get that vendor anymore. But in order to build that confidence, you have to over communicate, right? So it's like anybody that is starting a relationship, if you're not over communicating, then you're not going to last, is really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And I think this ties into what I wanted to get into next. Trust and communication, I think, really go hand in hand. Can y'all speak to that, the role of trust for a long-term vendors, but then also, let's say you're a new vendor, you're wanting to work with a new company. How do you, from the vendor perspective, right? We want to over-communicate our expectations. What can a vendor do to really build that trust?
Trust. And I think a big part of it is, again, the over-communication, but where the vendor normally would see failure points, right? And there's certain things where once somebody gets a sign that's created, sending us opening pictures, right? Hey, we opened the crate. Mm. It's good. Here's some pictures of it. And, you know, documenting those processes help build that trust that you know. So then if somebody sends you a picture and they say, hey, this is good. And then you go, no, it's not because of these reasons. So then that kind of builds that trust that now we're showing them what our expectations are. And they're understanding, okay, with North American Signs, this isn't acceptable. You know, it might be acceptable to somebody else, but it's not for our standards, because you can't write everything into a contract, right? Like you find somebody up as a vendor, and there's just so many things that could go wrong and so many different avenues that you have to build that trust. And that's why it takes years, because there's so many different just situations you can run into with so many different types of signs and installation methods and everything that you just, the more you build trust and here's how we handle it as a company and then proving it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here, let me show you a picture of this and this is what we plan to do. Then the ideal situation is where we can just go, hey, vendor, here you go. And then we can sleep easy until, and that's the same thing we sell to our customers. You know, of course, you just take the signage off of your plate. But in order for us to gain that trust, we have to do the same thing. We have to over-communicate with our customers.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Jonathan. And what you're saying, where we reflect to our clients, is trying to over communicate is number one. But I think having the character and the integrity for both ourselves at North American, but also out of our vendors. For instance, if they're quoting a job or doing a project for us and they see something that's wrong, part of that rapport that we build with them is, hey, thanks for calling out. Sorry, we missed that. And it's working together as a team versus, back to my point of, you work for us, do what we say. It's more, hey, we understand you're the professionals in the field. And that's one thing that I was taught early on for the past 9 years, is they're the professionals in the field. They are the experts. We are experts as well, but they're going to be your eyes. And if you don't trust them and their character and the integrity to do the job in a professional way, that can ruin the rapport and that relationship right from the start if we don't trust that.
And the other part of it is just, like he's, like Scott mentioned, like being out in the field, and we might call out using a certain type of fastener, right? And then they get out on the field, and if they just use that fastener knowing that it's going to fail and go, that's what I was told to do, that's not a partnership. Like when they're up there and they call and say, oh, hey, you need to beef up this fastener because of XYZ reasons, it's going to cost you a little more. If you don't do it, this sign's going to fall down in a year. Then having that and going, okay, yeah, let's spend the extra money now, instead of them just saying, well, that's what the spec called, I'm just doing what I'm told. You know, they're not looking out for us in that aspect. And so we try and do the same thing with them, that even though everything looks good on paper, once you get out there and start getting your hands dirty, things can change pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to have PMs on my team ask, Scott, how do you get to that point with them that you get to know them well? And I say, guys, pick up the phone sometimes, call them. Don't just talk about work all the time. I mean, work is important, but try to get to know them. I almost joke to say it's like a relationship where you're trying to date somebody new.
Right.
I said, find out what they're doing. What do they do on weekends? You know, I was just talking with a vendor just yesterday and said, hey, how's your daughter's travel softball team going? He's like, man, it's expensive. We're going to Alabama. We're going to Kentucky. We're going to Florida. And he's like, it would be a lot better if they were winning more to justify the cost. But just asking how they're doing in a day versus go do this for me. And I feel like that's why we're special here at NAS, is I was taught that way. Mm. I'm trying to train our people to feel that way of, the vendors are, they are vendors. They're here to put up a sign, but they're also people as well. And I think that's important to key on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the question is like, how do you do what's in the best interest of the client? Because what's in the best interest of the client is in the best interest of our partnership together. And correct. So just remembering, yeah, that people are human and that we're, I'm not in it for you to fail. I hope you're not in it for me to fail. Like I, right. mutual mm-hmm. success is, you know, obviously benefits us all.
The other thing is, you know, a big part of building that relationship is people like to do business with people they like. You
100%.
Know, people don't tend to like to do business with people that they don't like. So, you know, the more you that's can build fact. That rapport, yeah. the more chance you're going to get that extra, hey, man, I know it's Friday at 5 o'clock, but I really need somebody to go out there.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you don't like that person, you're going to be like, nah, I'm not going to handle that for you. But if you build that relationship and you generally actually like who you're working with, then it makes everything else a lot easier as well.
Yeah, it's those little things. And that's in any sport I've played or any job I've done, it's doing the little things like that of having that relationship. And something as small as responding to an email. I've had people say, you know, every vendor, we're friends, we're colleagues, but at the end of the day, they still want to get paid. So that's a big thing too. So I've had people just say, hey, Scott, thanks for sending, you received our invoice. It makes us feel that we're part of this together. And it's sometimes some people send invoices and never hear back from the national company. So we try to instill, guys, just respond to people, say thank you, say received. And that helps build that little connection like you're talking about, Jonathan, that on a Friday, if I need them to, they're willing to maybe pull some strings to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Those small things that build strong quality relationships are really important, especially in situations, Scott, like you mentioned, payment, invoicing, those types of deals are really tough and very sensitive. And it's just handling it appropriately, handling it in a timely manner can unfortunately make or break those relationships. So what are y'all's insights on handling those really tricky vendor conversations and relations that are dealing with payment challenges? What are your insights? What are your thoughts?
That's a tough question.
I know. We're doing it for the audience, though. They got to know.
I know. No, it's a tough question. And everybody's a little bit different. I think I think the number one thing that I am keen on here is rapport with them. Mm-hmm. And I think some of those tricky vendors, if you can build that rapport, you can open up that dialogue to have those tough payment questions or, hey, maybe it's a week behind, or maybe can we get this payment a little sooner? Because it's both ways. It could be behind, or it could be, hey, this time around, we know it's not normal for our payment terms, but can you pay us a little sooner? It's a lot of money up front. And for example, permitting. Some cities, it could be $200 for a permit. Some it could be $2,000. And sometimes they ask for a favor here and there. So having those tough questions like that is having that rapport, finding out if there's some middle ground you can reach to. And sometimes it works out for the best. And to be honest, sometimes it doesn't. It creates frustrations. But if you just continue to communicate like Jonathan emphasized at the beginning, that's the best you can do in moments like that.
Mm. Well, yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on as a company is that if the vendor did the work, we're not going to stiff you. So our conversations are a lot easier to have with our vendors because we tend to do the right thing, even if it's a detriment to us and our customer's not going to pay us because they disagree with whatever was done. If we agree that the vendor did their and upheld their end of the bargain, we're going to pay them even if we don't get paid. And I think the hardest conversations to have is when you're talking with a vendor and they feel they did do the job, but you feel they didn't. And that's where that rapport comes in. And if a vendor is more open-minded and humbled by the fact that, hey, we needed 4-inch lag screws and you used 2, our customer's upset about it, they want a discount, whatever, and you can insert anything into that situation. The specs call for this, you did something different, whether it was above or below, it didn't match what needed to be done. And that's why it goes all the way back to that communication where when they're up there and they're like, hey, it calls for 4-inch lag screws, I can't use them. I can only use 3. So if we can communicate that back to our customers and say, mm-hmm. there's something preventing us from doing this. Is this acceptable? It'll mitigate all those problems at the end where the customer can get upset and say, we told you to do this and you just can't do whatever you want on your own and then expect to get paid the same amount for it. We wanted a 30-foot sign and you made a 25-foot one. We're not going to pay for a 30-foot sign.
Right.
So all that communication, and it makes those conversations at the end about payment easier because everybody's on the same page. And then when you have the rapport and everything, you can say, look, I can't get you on this one, but hopefully I can make it up for you on some other jobs that we send over.
Yeah. What about situations where a vendor, right, because we want to really speak to our vendors here and how they can work to build relationships with companies like ours. What if you're dealing with a national company that is not paying you for work that you've done? Or let's take it even a step further. Maybe a company that you have a longer term relationship with, and all of a sudden something's changed, right? And you're not getting paid for work that you've done for that national company. How should that vendor handle that? What's the best approach?
For me, like, there's two different avenues, right? Just like you mentioned. So let's tackle the new vendor, right? If I'm a new vendor working with a national sign company and I'm not getting paid, I wouldn't work with them anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's that simple. Like, if they're not viewing it as a partnership and a big part of it is communication. So if I'm working with a company and they're not paying me and they're communicating with me and saying, this is why, and you understand it and can get around it, then that makes sense. If
sure.
you're just, like Scott mentioned, just saying, hey, we got your invoice. If you're constantly sending communication out saying, hey, we're 30 days past due, we're 90 days mm-hmm. past due, and you're just not getting any feedback, it's akin to, do you want that headache? Is it worth it? Like, how much value do you put in your own time? And then on the flip side of it, if it's somebody that's been there for a long time, a vendor for a long time, then it's just, you know, you determine how soon you need to escalate things. And it's, you end up, like I always tell people, that you build up, like, trust builds up certain things that you're willing to tolerate with a vendor, a customer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you eat up all that trust with some quote unquote misbehavior that you're getting from either your customer or your vendor, then you just have to escalate it. And then eventually you can try and get to somebody that's going to give you an answer. And part of it could be, you know, hey, we worked with you for 20 years, you changed ownership, and now owners don't care. They don't care about the partnership. Mm. So then, you know, it's okay. Then you need to reevaluate your relationship.
Yeah. And to add to that, Jonathan, one thing I see a lot too with the whole terms of payment and whatnot, my advice to the vendors would be to find somebody they can really have that direct communication with that national company. Mm. Some companies strictly say vendor only contact our accounting department, right? They leave it in those hands. But on a day-to-day, they're working with our project managers, our salespeople, whoever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
So at least at our company, I try to be that person. I try to be that advocate, in a sense, or liaison to say, hey, if you're not getting answers out of some of the project managers, give me a call. Here's my number. Here's my email. I will try to get you in contact.
Mm-hmm.
And because I truly value the relationships we have, that we cannot do what we need for our clients unless we have the relationship with them to do what's done. So those little things, that's some of the advice I'd give national companies and vendors, is find a different connection versus just the accounting department that can maybe help you navigate some issues that might pop up in the future.
Yeah, all of that is really good. Sounds like knowing what your boundaries are as a company, mm-hmm. how far are you willing to go, both for a new client or a longtime partner, and finding that internal person who's going to be your cheerleader. If
right.
you work with North American Signs, it sounds like Scott's your guy. He's going to be your cheerleader.
I try. You know, I'm for both sides, and a vendor and the national company. And I always try to explain to everybody, even you two, that if you're a consumer buying something, and customer service, right? That's
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing. You call somebody, you can't get a hold of the person you talked to last week, or you did a job for somebody and you're trying to get payment and you're like, that person never picks up their phone and their voicemail is full, right?
Right.
Like, those are the instances that frustrate us as consumers, that
right.
I don't want our partners to feel that way.
Right.
Mm, yeah. Think about the last time you were stuck in a waiting line on the phone. You're right. That's good perspective.
Right.
Good perspective.
Yeah.
So kind of to wrap us up here, what are just some common pitfalls that vendors should avoid when dealing with national brands like North American Signs? Anything that y'all haven't touched on? Final thoughts?
Yeah, I would say probably hiding things. There's certain things that you have to know what's the most important thing to bring to somebody's attention, right? Mm. So if you're supposed to pour a 3-foot by 2-foot footer and it's 2 by 2, we're going to find out, you know,
yeah.
And if there's reasons why you can't do it, then bring all that up. But it's really, as soon as something goes wrong, don't try and just cover it up, right? If it goes wrong and you find a workaround, let us know what happened, mm-hmm. communicate that to us and let us know and let us decide how big of a deal that is. If you want to change anything that was agreed upon, let us know, because if you don't do that, that's the quickest way to erode trust, and it will destroy mm-hmm. really long-term relationships if you mm-hmm. just go off book and, oh yeah, I know that the specs called for a 3-foot footer and I just decided to go with 2-foot. And it's no, you can't just do yeah. you can't just change things on a whim, because, and whatever the reasoning is, we have to know that so we can be in front of it. So always, I would say that's the biggest pitfall, is just doing something and be like, that's how it is, instead of saying, hey, this isn't what we agreed upon. We need to have a conversation.
Mm. Yeah.
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 No, I agree with that. And to add to that point, it would, you know, he talks about hiding things, but it's also the accountability. I like to use that word as meetings. We deal with meetings all the time with clients, other vendors. And if you're not going to show up for the meeting or be late for a meeting, that's the biggest pitfall, you know, of them all. You got a client waiting on site at 6 a.m. Your guy doesn't show up, no call, no show. That is one of the biggest things that can tarnish relationships from the start. And then, and not finishing the job too. You know, you left a job 90% done. We want you to go back. The client's trying to open the store and you don't go back. Mm. And we keep pushing for that return. So if I would say avoid that with us, it's communicate, as we said from the start, and showing up on time and where you're supposed to be when you said you're going to be. And if not, people, stuff happens. Cars break down. A guy calls in sick to work, but it's the no call, no shows that I would say is the biggest topic of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it all leads back to communication. The biggest pitfall mm-hmm. is if you don't communicate, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the best way to do it is, like I said before, is over communicate. Even if you think it's not a big deal, just let us know, because we might agree. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yep, that's not a big deal. Move on, move forward. Thanks for letting us know. So that way, when the customer or whoever the inspector is looking at it, we can justify it. It's not like, mm-hmm. it's not the first time we're hearing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Scott, I really appreciate what you're saying about accountability, and for both of you, the communication thing, because if you're not willing to hold each other accountable, you're not really partners. That's not the definition mm-hmm. of partnership. You have to be willing to dig in, be honest, and frankly, for North American Signs, we don't want to do business with people who don't run their businesses with integrity. Right. We just don't.
Well, and that's another thing. It works both ways too. Like we just had something go through a shop where 99% of what we did was one specific blue, right? And then there was one thing that was a different blue. And if somebody would have just raised their hand and said, this is a different shade than this, right? Like, and then, but no, it gets installed with that different shade. And then the customer's like, well, why is that a different shade? And it was just like, oh.
Maybe everyone who laid eyes on it was colorblind.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, probably not. So,
yeah. And luckily it wasn't a make or break moment, but it's one of those where it's just, man, if anybody would have caught this sooner, somebody raised their hand and just say, hey, did you notice this? All those little things. And then that builds that trust that, oh, what did they expect type of thing, instead of just do what you're told.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan, you just said something that resonated with me. Is I come from a sports background, and coaches used to say, you don't know which play is going to win the game, so play every play like it's the last play of the game. Right. Is what they used to say all the time. That's something to keep in mind with the client, with vendors, with anybody, is you don't know what transaction, what moment in time is the last one or the next one. So keep on treating each moment as it is the last play of the game, and you'll succeed.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, Scott's getting deep. It's like that, it's like that saying, you never know when the last time you're going to pick up your kid is. Like, you know, it's like, 'cause there's just going to, and you're just never going to know when was the last time you did it?
Wow. Yeah, okay.
You just never know when you invite a guest. You never know when you invite a guest on what we're going to say. So
exactly.
Right.
You know, they were going to have to turn this to the philosophical podcast.
Exactly.
Philosophical room.
Get a little teary, you guys. My mascara is too expensive for this.
The deep room.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a great conversation. Scott, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your expertise, and Jonathan, you as well. I appreciate what y'all have to say, and I hope all of the vendors who are wanting to work with national brands find this valuable as well. Thanks, Scott.
I appreciate it. Give me a call, vendors. I'll be waiting.
This has been a great episode. I'm glad that you invited me back. It's thanks to Scott for joining us. That was great that he could carve out some time for us.
Yeah. And
hopefully everybody got some insights on building relationships with national brands and how it can be challenging, and you know, realizing that you're willing to communicate, if you work with honesty and compassion, we'll build long-term mutually beneficial partnerships. And a big thing that I hope everybody also gets out of this is it's not just the sign industry. Like a lot of the advice that we talked about here, it transcends. It's almost like almost every vendor partnership in almost any relationship, any business, any vertical market, it's going to work across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks y'all for joining us for today's episode. Hope it was insightful. You can also sign up for our monthly InnoSign newsletter that just provides some more educational resources like what you get here on the podcast. And we do also offer some exclusive content that you can get only by signing up for the newsletter. That's going to be in the link in the description for this video. We also want to know, what have y'all found to be really effective ways of building some of those national partnerships? Drop us a comment below, let us know. And until next time, keep innovating.